ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
हरे कृष्ण प्रभुजी, कैन यू बी लिटल लाउडर?
इज इट बेटर?
या।
नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णकृष्णाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यहारि पश्चात्यभीष्टधारिणे पञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासन्धिभ्येव च प्रतिधानं भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्रीयद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 4, Text Number 28. Tatpasyatam ke bhuvichad bhutam mahad Ha'e divadas samahan ajayata Antat priya jayvatam asya devi Jahavasam enasati nakopita. When Sati annihilated her body in anger, there was a tumultuous roar all over the universe. Why had Sati, the wife of the most respectable demigod Lord Shiva, quit her body in such a manner? Purport by our beloved A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There was a tumultuous roaring all over the universe in the societies of the demigods of different planets because Sati was the daughter of Daksha, the greatest of all kings, and the wife of Shiva, the greatest of all demigods. Why did she become so angry that she gave up her body? Since she was the daughter of a great personality and wife of a great personality, she had nothing to desire. But still, she gave up her body in dissatisfaction. Certainly, this was astonishing. One cannot attain complete satisfaction, even if one is situated in the greatest material opulence. There was nothing Sati could not achieve either from her relationship with her father or from her relationship with the greatest of the demigods. But still, for some reason, she was dissatisfied. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam explains that one has to achieve real satisfaction, yayata supasiddhati. But Atma, the body, mind, and soul, all become completely satisfied only if one develops devotional service to the Absolute Truth. Adhokshaja means the Absolute Truth. If one can develop his unflinching love for the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead, that can give complete satisfaction. Otherwise, there is no possibility of satisfaction in the material world or any other. Anywhere else. This reminds of a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, right? Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravarti nordina. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery. Even in Lord Brahma's planet, we know the story of Hiranyakashipu, right? Hiranyakashipu wanted to achieve immortality. So he worshipped the most powerful creature by his estimation, in the universe. Lord Brahma came, and Hiranyakashipu asked, I want immortality. And we know the answer was, I'm sorry, I cannot give that to you because, Lord Brahma says, even I must die. So wherever we are in the material world, we are beset by miseries. There are three types of miseries, right? Three types of ways we become dissatisfied, unhappy, remorseful. They are adidaivika klesha, right? Adidaivika klesha means those miseries that come from the demigods. Surya, Chandra, Indra, Bhumi Devi, right? These are gods and goddesses that are responsible for different types of activities or different types of situations and circumstances on the planet. So miseries coming from the demigods in terms of, in the manner of hurricanes, in the manner of disturbances, famine, disease, these things coming from the demigods is a particular type of misery. Another type of misery, the second type of misery, is adibhautika klesha, right? This is disturbances, miseries that come from other living creatures, other living entities, right? Just like in adidaivika klesha. That the demigods are responsible for so many different situations on the planet. And the same other living entities are also responsible for so many things. We know in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, right? Krishna says, Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanya na sambhava, yagya bhavati parjanya, yagya karma samudbhava, right? Krishna says, all living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rain. Rain is produced by performance of yajna, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. In that section of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that when there is cooperation between men, human beings, and demigods, then there is prosperity for all. But we know in this day and age, particularly in Kali Yuga, there is no cooperation between men and demigods. So what happens? Without this cooperation, without this principle, this concept, this simple living and high thinking, without this sacrifice being offered to the demigods, then we are disturbed by so many natural disasters. In the same way, adibhautika klesha, other living entities, right? What is the verse? Ahastani ahastanam apatani chituspadam falguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam, right? So we're lucky. The human beings, in a manner, we are at the top of the food chain, right? We do not have to, we no longer live in the jungle. We no longer live on the savannah, the plains of Africa, being chased by lions and tigers, right? We don't live in the jungle. We don't have to worry so much about other living entities hunting us for food. However, the principle, jivo jivasya jivanam, falguni tatra mahatam, falguni, are the weak, mahatam are the strong. We are still beset upon persons in our life who are stronger than us, maybe not physically, but maybe they are stronger than us or greater than us in their financial situation, right? The person who owns, or the person from whom, the company from whom we borrow money to buy a home. They are financially greater than we are. So they can cause distress if they ask for more money than we are able to afford on our mortgage, right? There may be some, we know those who are in school, well, or our young children we may have in school, that are bullies in school that pick on our sons and daughters. This is Falguni Tatra Mahatam. We go to work. There may be someone at our, a co-worker at our job that is mahatam, in some position of superior authority to us, and they cause some problem because they don't like the way we look, they don't like where we come from, they don't like the color of our skin, or they're just having a bad day. For whatever reason, they cause us some distress, right? So this is adibhautika klesha, or miseries coming from other living entities. Not to mention the other living entities like mosquitoes, insects, various things that we cannot see that are also causing us difficulty. The third misery is adhyatmika klesh. This is miseries coming from our own body, body and mind, particularly janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. We know all this. This is, I'm not saying anything new here, right? These experiences, birth, death, old age, and disease, cause anxiety because we have such attachment to the material body, right? We're so afraid of birth, death, old age, and disease that this anxiety causes us distress. So the question then becomes, right, we see here in the verse, the demigods are asking, why is it that Sati, she has everything? But the fact of the matter is, no matter how much material opulence we may have, no matter how great our situation may be, the gods can cause us problems. There's always someone greater than us that can cause us problems and difficulties. Right? For Sati, that greater personality was her father, Daksha. Right? It caused great, great distress in her mind. So there is always something, someone, some situation that causes us distress. Then the question now becomes, how do we transcend this type of misery? How do we transcend these types of material afflictions and distress? We know the answer. It's not a secret. Harinama. Harinam. Right? Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shudha Nitya Mukta Abhinatam Nama Namina. It is through Harinam. Krishna Varnam Kisha Krishna Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagai Sankirtanapraya Yajanti Hisumedasa. The miseries that come from the demigods, can be overcome through Harinam. We know this because Krishna has described this. When Krishna says, by cooperation between men and demigods, through yajna, prosperity wins for all. Yajna in Kali Yuga is Harinam Sankirtana. Yajnai Sankirtana Praya Yajanti Hisumedasa. So chanting of the holy names in Kali Yuga is a prescribed method for cooperation between men and demigods. Adibhautika klesha. Falguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. Being harassed by those who are more powerful than us, again, shelter the holy name is the key. Purna shuddha nitya mukta bhinatam nama namina. Purna, the holy name of the Lord, is complete. There is nothing more that needs to be added to it. How is the holy name complete? We know Bhagavan is a title attributed to one who has all six opulences in full. One of the six opulences are strength, power. The holy name of the Lord is all powerful. Completely powerful. So when we take shelter of the holy name of Krishna, we also are under the shelter of the most completely powerful personality. So Falguni Tatra Mahatam is no longer an issue. Being beset and harassed by Adibhautika, other living entities, is no longer an issue. This does not mean there's no bully in the class. This does not mean that we don't have a coworker that is acting like an idiot and harassing. What this means is, it means we are not afflicted in our consciousness We're not afflicted. We're not beset with anxiety in our mind, in our steadfastness, in our devotional process by the activities of those persons around us. We remain strong and fixed in our consciousness. Haridas Thakur is being beaten through the various marketplaces. He remains fixed, strongly stable in his devotion to the Lord. Jesus Christ is nailed to the cross. He remains fixed in consciousness, still forgiving those who are nailing him to the cross. See, that strength comes from the complete, powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead, the name, Abhinatam Namanami, no, the name and the possessor of the name, Krishna. And his name are none different. So the name of Krishna is complete. It is all-powerful. It is complete in strength. When we take shelter of the holy name, we are also under the shelter of that completely powerful Krishna. Adhyatmika klesha, the misery pertaining to or experienced by the fact that we have a material body, manifests in four ways: birth, death, old age, and disease. Again, we take shelter of the holy name. It is the holy name that counteracts, that allows us to transcend even this third particular misery. Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukta. Janma Mriti Jhara Vyadi, right? Purna, again, complete. The holy name of the Lord is complete. There's nothing more to be added to it. My wife, she is a sculptor. She works with clay. Sometimes I go to pick her up from the studio where she works. And she tells me about her day. Sometimes I go inside if there's parking available. This being Boston. I go inside and I see what she shows me what she's doing. And she shows me those things that are complete and those things are incomplete. And when she describes those things she's working on that are incomplete, she explains, this needs more this needs more that, this needs more time to dry, this needs more time in the kiln, in the oven. Various stages of things being incomplete. She describes how some things, clay needs to be cured, it needs more time, it needs to age more. Because it's incomplete. The holy name of the Lord is complete. So this principle of old age, of maturing, growing, is not applicable to the holy name because the holy name is complete. The holy name is fully mature. So the anxiety of growing old for the devotee who is under the shelter of the holy name is not there. Old age holds no fear for the devotee because the devotee is under the protection of Purna Nam, the complete name of the Lord. Shuddha, the Lord's holy name is pure. There was a case here in Boston, Massachusetts General Hospital. Famous, many of you probably already know it, of course. Famous hospital in Massachusetts. There was a case of 3 or 4 months ago. Someone went to the hospital, was infected by or caught some disease in the hospital itself. Yeah, some kind of disease. Big scandal in the newspapers. They worked it out. The person was cured. Thank God. Nothing went terribly. For the devotee, there is no anxiety because the Lord's name is Shuddha. It is pure. There are no viruses, bacteria in the Lord's name. So the anxiety of disease, of infirmities, do not in any way shake the foundation of the devotee's spiritual advance. Because the devotee is under the shelter of Shuddha Nam, the pure, powerful, complete name of the Lord. Nitya, the Lord's name is Nitya, it is eternal. Nitya Mukta. It is beyond birth and death. It is Nitya, eternal. It is Mukta, it is liberated. No birth. So Janma Mriti Jara Vyadi has no place, has no effect, has no influence whatsoever on the person, on the devotee who is under the shelter of the holy name. Because Abhinatvam Nama Namino. The name and the possessor of the name are non-different. This is what Srila Prabhupada is talking about in this verse. It is through connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, through his holy name, that completely nullifies all three of the kleshas, all three of these types of miseries in the material world. The holy name alone can do so. This is the beauty, the power of the holy name. Therefore, we must take shelter of the holy name. When we take shelter of the holy name, we're not in a situation where we are overcome by anxiety resulting from the various personalities of daksha, if you will, in our lives. We are surrounded by dakshas. In our family, in our workplace, our neighbors. I don't mean this in a bad way. I'm not talking about putting down other people. But the fact of the matter is, we are constantly beset. We are constantly in situations, circumstances, environments, where any one of these three miseries afflict us. But when we take shelter of the holy name, we are beyond, we are transcendental to these material afflictions. Now the question becomes, how? Everything that I've said in the past, what has it been now, 20 minutes, 30 minutes? Everything I've said in the past 20 minutes, every one of you already know this. I'm not telling you anything new, right? You've all heard this dozens of times before for the past 3, 4, 5 decades, right? Now the question is, how? How do we take shelter of the holy name? This service that we have here every day, this morning chanting at 5:30 a.m., it is a most wonderful service that is being provided for us to be able to chant the holy name together. Yajjai Sankirtana, sung together, chanting the holy name of the Lord. So how do we make this connection with the holy names? How do we take shelter of the holy name? First thing, we must be aware of the 10 offenses. It is wonderful that every morning we get to recite the 10 offenses, become aware of the 10 offenses, to be mindful of the 10 offenses, and do our level best not to fall victim to the 10 offenses, not to fall victim to Namapara. In a previous lecture I gave several weeks ago, we talked about Aparad. Did we not? Seva Aparad, Namaparad, Namaparad. We went over that. We don't need to go over it again. Actually, we do need to go over it again, but not in today's lecture. We'll do Aparad again another time, because Aparad is very important. When we are victim of Aparad, it gets in the way of our experiencing pleasure, a taste, happiness. It prevents us from being able to take full shelter of the holy name. That's what Aparad results. So yes, we will go Aparad again at another lecture another time. We can never have too much awareness of the various types of Aparad. So reciting, being aware of the 10 offenses to the holy name is where we begin, and do our level best not to commit such offenses. including the 11th offense, to be inattentive. But we also have to take the chanting of the holy name seriously. Now, of course, there are no hard and fast rules. That is the beauty of the Maha Mantra. There are no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy name, particularly in relation to or in comparison to mantras, say, of the Rig Veda, right? In Gurukula, we had to learn all the mantras for puja, yajna, and so on. For all of the academic classes we went to, the math class and the English class and all the boring classes we went to class, we had to be dressed properly, of course. We went to class, and that was fine. For mantra class, we had to take bath, put on a clean dhoti, and go to mantra class. We did not have to take a bath, put on clean clothes to go to math class. Go to math class and whatever you're wearing and go. That's, I mean, we did not go to Gumsha. We went in Dhoti Kurta, but it was not as strict. But for mantra class, we had to go in the proper mood. Bathe, clean clothes, tilak, then go to mantra class. Of course, being kids, you know, we were supposed to go in a clean dhoti, but, you know, we had to, this was in India, Mayapur. We didn't, you know, we were young boys, we were a little too lazy to wash our own clothes. We didn't have washing machines. So the ashram teacher, Mahavishnu, is that a clean dhoti into mantra class? And of course, well, unfortunately, would lie and say, yes, Mashai, and I would run to class. But you get my point. In comparison to chanting various other mantras, the holy name of the Lord is not so strict. But still, even so, we should be bathed, properly dressed, with tilak, in the temple, sitting in the proper place, chanting the holy name free of disturbances. That means the cell phone goes in a completely different room and turn it off. Don't put it in the other room and leave it on. So when the message comes, you hear the ding, right? That's the ubiquitous sound of Kali Yuga, is that ding from getting a message from WhatsApp or whatever it is, right? That is the sound of Kali Yuga. The sound of Kali Yuga now is ding. Everywhere you go, you hear this ding everywhere. The phone goes in the other room and you turn it off. We should have a particular, specific place in the home where we chant our rounds. Every day in that place, we chant our rounds. This is very important. It's a very, very important point. I'm going to go off the topic a little bit just to talk about this point. In the Bhagavad Gita, the first verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Dhritarashtra vacha dharma kshetra kuru kshetra samaveta yujitsava mama kapandavaschaiva kima kurvata sanjaya. I'm sure many of you are Bhakti Shastris. You've gone to the Bhakti Shastri course. You know this. But just to reiterate, Dhritarashtra is asking, my dear Sanjaya, after my sons and the sons of Pandu assembled in the place of pilgrimage at Kurukshetra, desiring to fight, what did they do? The second half of that verse is unimportant. The second half of that verse where Dhritarashtra asks, what did my sons and the sons of Pandu do? That is irrelevant. Dhritarashtra is actually asking, my dear Sanjaya, in Dharmakshetra, in the place of pilgrimage at Kurukshetra, what is happening? Because Dhritarashtra is keenly aware and afraid of the power of the Holy Dham. Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra, this place of pilgrimage at Kurukshetra is very powerful, Dhritarashtra knows. His fear is that the pious nature of this holy place of Kurukshetra, this extremely powerful spiritual atmosphere of Kurukshetra, how is it going to affect the war between my sons and the sons of Pandu? Will this powerful spiritual energy, will it cause the Pandavas to give up the war and go take sannyas and not fight my sons? Or will the spiritual power of Kurukshetra benefit the Pandavas, who are also spiritually powerful devotees of the Lord? Will it benefit them and thus give them victory over my son? The second half of that verse is irrelevant. Dhritarashtra is asking about the place the pilgrimage of Kurukshetra. How is that place, the power, the spiritual energy of that place, how is it going to affect the outcome? In the same way, in our homes, we must have a dharma kshetra Kurukshetra. We must have a place, even if it's only a small asam, where we sit in the corner in the closet. That should be our dharma kshetra. In that place, every day we chant our rounds. The more we chant our rounds in that place, the more that place becomes dharma kshetra. The more that place becomes spiritually surcharged with purna shuddha nitya mukta, the power of the holy name, the power of Krishna, takes residence in that place, in that little corner, in our closet. The phone is outside turned off. The husband knows, the wife knows, the children know, the grandparents know. When you're in that little corner, you are not to be disturbed. That is dharma kshetra. Very, very, this is very important. If we're not lucky enough to live in a temple, live nearby a temple where we can chant our rounds in the temple every day, that is best. Mangalarti every day. Sorry. Those of us who live outside, we go to work. Right? Many of you who are on the call now, you're probably looking at the watch because we have to go to work. I know I have to. We go to work. Here in Boston, back several years ago, I instituted a Mangalarti club. The first Saturday of every month, all the community were expected to come to Mangalarti at least once a month. Those of you who live in these other temples, when you're giving your introductions, it was so wonderful to hear people from Atlanta, Washington, D.C., Texas, all India. Many of you, most of us, do not live in a temple. We have grihastha obligations, grihastha dharma, so many things we must take care of. Once a month, if not more, at least once a month, the first Saturday of the month, every single month, make sure you go to the temple for Mangalarti. That is like visiting Vaikuntha. And chant rounds in the temple. That is more than dharma kshetra, that is Vaikuntha. But oftentimes we cannot make it to the temple. We must have that place in the home. Then our meditation, the 11th, I'll begin to wrap it up here because I'm going a little bit over time. The 11th offense, be inattentive while chanting the holy names, is very, very important. It's kind of, this 11th offense is kind of tagged on to the end of the 10 offenses, but it is no less important. We must be attentive in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. When we've established our dharma kshetra in the home, the place where we're going to chant, we make sure it is free of distractions. Distractions by either sound or sight. A little incense is nice, maybe a little shanai. Music, oh, this is very wonderful, just a little aside. It was so wonderful. This was back in the, I don't know if they do it now, I've not been in Mayapur for many years. But after Mangalarti in Mayapur, they used to play this shanai morning raga, shanai music, with the sitar and so on, the shanai, everything. Beautiful, beautiful music. It was perfect for getting one in the mood for attentive chanting of the holy name. So in your home, put on the shanai, the morning raga, the shanai. You've done your morning puja, so some incense is burning. The phone is in the bathroom. Turned off. The kids may still be asleep. Husband's doing something. Wife's doing something. Whatever, whomever it may be. Sit in your dharma kshetra and focus on the chanting of the holy name. One last quick story, and we'll go to questions. When I was in Gurukul in New Vrindavan, this was where, back in the early 80s, and I had many teachers over the years, but this one particular teacher was very, very, I owe my taste for chanting to this one particular teacher. Unfortunately, he's not around anymore, but so be it. And the basic principle that Srila Prabhupada told his teachers, he said the teachers are not supposed to force the children to chant. Because if you try to force them, then the children are just going to get a bad taste and they're going to have a negative feeling or connection with the holy name. So the teachers were not supposed to force the children in Gurukul to chant the holy name. Some teachers force the kids anyway, but that's, we won't get into that. So this one particular teacher was very, very wonderful. I'm very much grateful for this particular teacher. We would sit in a circle around him after Mangalarti. This was in New Vrindavan. And we all had to chant. And the teacher said, those of you who want to chant can chant. Those of you who don't want to chant, you don't have to chant. But do not disturb those who are chanting. So, of course, we being little brats, little kids, right? We would sit there, and I'm going to exercise my right not to chant. So I sit there, and I'm not going to chant. Because I don't have the chance, so I'm not going to chant, right? Little rebellious little Mahavishnu. Right? But the teacher was very experienced, very clever. He knew how to deal with little rebellious little Mahavishnu. So after one of these japa periods, he comes, I remember this. He says, Mahavishnu, why are you, my name was Vyasadeva back then. I was not initiated. It was a Vyasadeva. Why are you not chanting? I don't want to chant. Is there some problem? I don't want to chant. Well, you don't like chanting? No, I don't want to chant. Being rebellious, right? He said, what is your favorite picture of Krishna? Now, in Gurukul, when we were children, we used to love, back in those days, the Back to Godhead magazine used to come out, I think, every week or every 2 weeks. It would come out very often. I don't know how often it comes out now. But it would come out very often. So we always waited for the new edition of the BTG, the Back to Godhead magazine, because there were wonderful new paintings of Krishna. And we loved, as children, we loved the pictures. So this teacher, Vyasadeva, what is your favorite picture? And it was around that time, there was a picture, a BTG came out, and the picture, a new picture was painted. I forget the name of the others. I should really find out his name, because it is still to this day my favorite picture. It is a picture, the picture that came out was a picture of Krishna. I'm sure you know this. Krishna is looking out of his window, baby Krishna. He's looking out of the window, and he's staring up at, he's looking at two parrots sitting or standing on the branch of a tree looking at him, looking at Krishna. And Krishna is looking at these two parrots. His chin is in his hands and he's smiling at these two parrots. That was the most wonderful picture I've ever seen. Even to this day, it's my favorite picture. So I told it to my teacher. And he said, okay, yesterday, you don't have to chant. Chant if you want to, but do me a favor, he says. Just concentrate on that picture while you sit with us in japa. If you want to chant, you can chant. The next day I came. He said, remember, you're going to think of your picture. Not only did I think of my picture, I brought the Back to Godhead to japa class. After Mangalarti, we came from the ashram, Mangalarti, I'm holding this BTG with the picture of Krishna on it, and I bring the BTG and the picture to japa class. I'm sitting, I'm chanting. I start chanting japa, looking at the picture of Krishna. And now I'm not saying this to glorify myself. Please do not take it that way. What I'm trying to point out is we must meditate on Krishna, our favorite picture of Krishna, our favorite pastime of Krishna, while we're chanting. This is how we take shelter of the holy name. We listen to the chanting. We listen to the holy name of the Lord, and we meditate upon our favorite form of the Lord. And we chant with pure concentration. When we have this meditation of our favorite form of the Lord, attention becomes so much easier. When we have our little dharmasthan, our little dharmakshetra, that has been empowered from our daily, weekly, yearly chanting in space, in our little closet, somewhere in our home, it becomes very easy to be under the shelter of the holy name. Okay, I will stop here. Are there any questions or comments or anything you'd like to share with all of us this morning?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful class. Always look forward to hearing your class. This is Vrajesh Varipaya from Atlanta. I have a question, Prabhu. You mentioned that Harinam alone can mitigate the three kinds of miseries. Now, we all go through miseries. The situations don't change, you know, although we chant. But did you mean that, you know, the miseries go away in the sense that the situations go away, or it's just that we become so transcendental that we don't care about it anymore?
Yes and no. Great question. Arjuna asks this question, the very same question you're asking. Arjuna asks this question in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The topic is Sita Pragya, the person who is steady in their consciousness. The consciousness is steady and fixed in Brahman realization, the first level of realization, but it is steady. And Arjuna asks, my dear Krishna, how does this person sit? How does he walk? How does he function in this world? So Arjuna obviously is not asking, Arjuna says, how does he speak? What is the language? How does he sit and how does he walk? Obviously, Arjuna is not asking, does he crawl and does he speak Japanese? That's not the question. Arjuna's question is exactly the question you're asking. He's referring to not the externals. So the three miseries, it's not that Haridas Thakur was not beaten through, 23 different marketplaces. The beating did go on. It's described that he did not feel it, or it was described that it did not make a mark on him. That's perfectly fine. That is the Leela. It did happen. Jesus Christ was not saved from what had happened to him. He experienced everything that he went to. Everything he went through. Prahlad Maharaj, another different Leela, those things happened. Prahlad Maharaj was transcendental, was unaffected. But for us, sometimes it is not so much that the incident does not happen. It is not so much that even the physical pain does not happen. What remains unchanged is our consciousness. We do not lose faith. We do not lose our connection with the Supreme, with Krishna. In Lilamrita, I believe it's in Lilamrita, I won't quote Lilamrita because I don't know if it's in Lilamrita. Apparently, one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, or had told Srila Prabhupada, my dear Srila Prabhupada, this such and such devotee has left the movement. And Prabhupada said, don't be surprised who leaves, be surprised who stays. The reason why this is such an important point is because it's about the consciousness. It is about our experience, our faith. Oftentimes, so many devotees experience, it's very unfortunate, very, very unfortunate. So many devotees have experienced a negative situation within ISKCON and they leave. This is one of the things that actually, Mataji, you said you're from Atlanta, so I'm sure you're in connection with some Gurukulis from Mayapur in Atlanta. Speak to them. This is something that is very, very painful for many devotees of my generation. There are so few Gurukulis from the 1970s and 80s. There are so few devotees, young children that grew up and went to Gurukul, my generation, that are devotees today. It's roughly about 10%, 10-15% of those of us who grew up in ISKCON in the 70s and 80s are with ISKCON today. That's because they went through terrible experiences. No one is taking away those experiences. Terrible experiences. But those experiences extinguished their faith in Krishna. It extinguished their faith in the devotees. It extinguished their faith in Srila Prabhupada. very, very unfortunate. Same thing with many, many devotees, many devotees. So we should not be surprised who leave. We should be surprised who stay. There are those devotees who stay who experience all the same things of others who have left, but they stay. They stay fixed in their love of Srila Prabhupada, their love of Krishna, their love of devotees, their love of chanting, their love of service. I want to make this very clear. I'm not saying that people who have left ISKCON are worse off or are terrible people. I'm not saying that. They went through terrible situations and they were unable to cope. And they had to remove themselves. That's unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate for us, those of us who remain. These are our God brothers and God sisters have left. Sometimes I go on Facebook and I see all my friends on Facebook. So many of them don't want to have, when I connect with them, I cannot even bring up Krishna consciousness. Talk about football. It's so unfortunate. We've lost so many souls. So to answer your question, it is not so much the physical circumstances may or may not change. That is irrelevant. For Prahlad Maharaj, that is irrelevant. For Jesus Christ, that is irrelevant. Prahlad Maharaj continued to chant Om Namo Narayanaya. His faith, his connection was fixed with Krishna. So his connection was unaffected. His realization was unaffected. He could not be saved from Narayan, no matter what Hiranyakashipu did. The externals, we may feel pain, we may not feel pain. That becomes secondary. But it can only become secondary if we really have that shelter. If we really have taken shelter of the holy name, then the Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta, the power of the holy name, protects our consciousness, gives us the strength in our consciousness to be Stita Pragya, Stita Dhi. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for your wonderful answer. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji, and very, very practical. It's really, you know, important to being a devotee instead of just going to Gurukula, because for my son, I was thinking I should put him in Gurukula. But my husband said, let him do whatever he wants, you know, he can become a devotee like us, like we are staying outside the temple and going to going to the programs and also doing bhakti viksha, and still we are Krishna conscious. So that way it is possible.
Yes, you're correct. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else has any question or comments for Prabhuji?
No, Mataji. Thank you very much for Prabhuji for such a wonderful lecture. No questions or comments from me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice class. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. If no one has any question or comment, we can end here. Please pay our obeisance to all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindubhyavacha patitanabhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnavindaki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.